Right, good morning, everybody. As we mentioned in this presentation, I'm going to talk very little about energy efficiency, very much more about how we've looked at delivering an effective enforcement approach for the private rented sector and how we've done that at Redbridge. And I suppose to some extent I'd say Redbridge is probably a fairly typical London borough. We're not Newham. We don't have 25, 30 enforcement officers. We're not supported by a team of 40 police officers. We're a fairly typical borough, and we're looking at just how we could make best use of the resources we've got available. And I'll see if I can work this. Indeed. So a little bit about the borough first of all. Population of 280,000. We've seen a significant increase in population over the 10 years between the last two censuses. 2011, we'd seen a 17% increase in population. Certainly not a 17% increase in housing supply, a new build or anything like that. So we're seeing much denser usage of the existing housing stock. Fairly typical on the size of the private rented sector, although again, it had just about doubled in size over the 10 years. But it was up to about 23, and we now suspect about 24% of the stock. For the reasons Joe's alluded to earlier, very difficult for us to know accurately how many properties we've got. We've also got a lot of variation within the borough. So in certain areas in the north of the borough, we're down to about 10-12% private rented. In the south of the borough, on the borders with Newham, we're up to sort of 40% plus. And at those sort of levels, it really does start to have quite a significant impact on the local area. We have 7 enforcement officers, and that's the resource I have available. One of those is funded by DCLG through their Beds in Sheds funding, and the rest, the other 6, are funded through our core general funded budget. And so what we've been looking to do is just to try and upskill the team through training development, through support through their seniors and the manager, and building the expertise in the team to be able to take enforcement action. Really good to say, I think all but one of the team have now led their own prosecutions in recent years. So we've also done a lot of promotional activity. We felt it's important to try and get messages out to landlords for the reasons we've talked about, that they're actually quite a difficult group to engage with. So we tried to work with them, and that's had some impact with the more compliant landlords to try and bring them on board. But then go on to prosecutions, and I think this graph sort of tells a lot to some extent. Up until about 2009, I should say I joined in 2012. 2009, we hadn't taken any enforcement action as a local authority under the Housing Act 2004. And it was felt at that time the market was beginning to change. We were seeing more problematic landlords who were just thinking actually they're in it for the money and they have no interest in the individuals living in their properties and putting them at considerable risk. So the team looked at taking their first prosecution in 2010 and were successful and came away with a fine of just over £1,000. And from there, it's kind of this that we've learned from each of the prosecutions that we've taken and applied those lessons to the next and the next. So interestingly, from 2011 to 2014, the actual number of cases we've taken each year has been fairly static. Each year, we've taken about six or seven prosecutions each year. And not for any particular reasons, but probably the amount of capacity we've got in the team, that some of these cases can take a number of weeks to prepare. So what we have seen is actually that the average penalty has risen quite significantly over the last few years, so that this year we're up to an average penalty of about £20,000 a time for the prosecutions that have been taken. And total year to date is about £140,000, which I'm really impressed with the work that the team have done. Within that, we've got a confiscation order under Proceeds of Crime Act, which was only about £14,000-£15,000, but enabled us to trial that legislation. We've got better at recovering court costs through very close working with our solicitors, and we're close to getting full cost recovery from the courts in that respect. But the penalties really are escalating. We've had one case where husband and wife landlords were ordered to pay, I think it was about £66,000, and paid all within 5 months or face 18 months inside. So that's our biggest success today. So how have we managed to do it? Well, it's partly selected the right cases. We have adopted very much an intelligence-led, risk-based approach. These cases are the very worst cases that many of you in the room will be used to dealing with. We're very much into organising multi-agency enforcement operations and bringing all the respective teams together. We rely very heavily on our Redbridge Community Policing team, which is part funded by the council to provide us with the resource to prevent breach of the peace. We've had often colleagues from immigration enforcement. We've had HMRC investigators come along with us. We've had council tax investigators, planning enforcement officers, building control officers, until sometimes we're up to about 20, 25 officers going into a property. And it's very much managing the resources and trying to make sense of that and having someone clearly in control on the day. We've got better at collecting really sound evidence and exhibits and doing a very detailed investigation, following up all the avenues, so that in most of the cases we've taken, it's resulted in a guilty plea. Which significantly reduces the time input you need when it comes to trials and particularly appeals. One of the strengths has been having a really effective legal services department behind us and a very knowledgeable and experienced solicitor who's been able to work with us, and I appreciate all councils aren't necessarily in that position, but we have sort of grown that relationship over the last few years, and it's made a huge difference. The other side of it, though, is promoting those successes, because if the penalty just goes to the landlord and no one ever gets to hear about it, then it's really of quite limited value apart from that direct individual. And as we've talked about, we don't really know how many landlords there are in the borough, but there could be 5,000 or 6,000 probably in our borough. So we have developed good links with our communications team. We try wherever possible to put out a press release after every prosecution. With quotes from our cabinet member, sometimes we have quotes from shelter, other agencies, the police or the fire brigade, depending on the nature of the offences. And that's got us some good publicity. But very much the whole thing is around all the individuals involved working as a team. Most of our enforcement operations will have 4 or 5 of our enforcement officers will need to go in. It's how they organise themselves. It's the relationships they've built up with all the other stakeholders involved. But coming back to, I suppose, what we get out of it, I think there's a number of issues. I think, to some extent, the message coming back from officers on the ground is that landlords are more willing to listen to them when they're first approached, because they know, potentially, the consequences of serious non-compliance. So we've got some early-level improved compliance. We've also got some landlords who've been prosecuted and have to some extent amended their ways. We had one landlord prosecuted for horrendous conditions in 5 unlicensed HMOs, and he's now going back and he's sort of, to some extent, he's regularising all of his properties one at a time. He's been working with us, and he's also actually been giving us information about other bad landlords operating close to him. And we've got as a result, another prosecution next month for 19 offences, I think it is, under the Housing Act. But we don't always prosecute. I think Yanis from the team's here today, and he's recently had a case where we did go in, there were serious problems, but having spoken to the landlord and followed all up, we decided to issue a caution, which he accepted. He's since converted his illegal flats back into a single-family house. He's demolished the bedding shed in the backyard. And he's put a family back into his property. And he sees that we're being reasonable. He realises the error of his ways. He's only got a couple of properties. And I don't think he'll be doing that again anytime soon. But it sends a useful message out through the local community as well. So the results, really. I mean, we've had some very good media coverage in recent times. Clearly, as I say, go back to the beginning, we've got about six or seven enforcement officers who've been able to do this. We've seen it very much as being a priority by the council, by the team, to do this and try and back off a little bit from some of the regular day-to-day service request response work. I suppose in relation to energy efficiency, we're dealing with people who perhaps don't have, and I can think of several cases at the moment, families with children who just don't have working boilers at the moment, so they have no heating and hot water. And we're very much at that edge of trying to get them, perhaps initially fan heaters to keep them going over the coming weeks, but looking at how we can intervene to try and get them some basic quality of life. There you are. Thank you.